ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading this morning from Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text Numbers 20 and 21. Is that right? Yes? Yes. Okay. That's my memory. I didn't look. So the chapter title is Krishna Lifts Govardhan Hill. And the scene, Krishna stopped the Indra Yajna, Indra became upset, Indra started his Indra program, torrential rains, etc. Krishna spoke, or there are five verses where Krishna was reflecting on what was going on. This is Indra, I'm going to curb his pride and I'm going to protect the devotees. They have their exclusive shelter in me, and I'm going to reciprocate with that exclusive shelter they have in me. So then, he instructed them, little boy, instructed all the Vrijvasis what to do. And, he proceeded to lift Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. And then purport specifically says in other scriptural references, it was with his left hand. Not stated like that directly here in the Bhagavatam. Then text 20. Atta, aha. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill with your cows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur provides the following insight in this regard. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan. However, because the hill was in ecstasy being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown upon its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking from Hari Vansha, the Acharya, that's Vishwanath, has also quoted Sri Krishna himself, saying, Trilokyam api utsahate rakshitum kim punar vrajam. Translated as, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds. What to speak of the simple land of Vraja? Paragraph. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up to its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. And text 21, Krishna speaking to the Vrijvasis, you should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain, for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. He doesn't give the details. your afflictions. Deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. So now we're going to go to commentaries. This is a much loved section, Govardhan Lila. And so, as devotees like the Lila, our acharyas like the Lila, and there's nice commentary. Let's see here. Okay. Here's the Acharya's, this is Bhanu Swami's rendering of the text itself and then the commentaries. The Lord then addressed the cowherd community, O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish you may now come under the hill with your cows. Vishwanath. Comfortably, you can all take shelter under Govardhan, but how could all the inhabitants fit under Govardhan, which is only 3 miles across? Here is the answer. On being touched by Krishna's hand, Govardhan became filled with bliss and attained inconceivable strength, so that when Indra hurled hundreds of thunderbolts on his back, they felt like the touch of flower garlands. And he expanded his form to 32 miles so that all the inhabitants, cows and buffaloes and other animals, could live comfortably beneath his shelter. Krishna says in Harivamsa, in lifting up Govardhan Hill, I have made such a large area that all the three worlds can be protected there. What to speak of Braja? The animals on top of Govardhan, such as deer, wild pigs, birds, did not find any difficulty from the rain when Krishna lifted the hill, because, according to Harivamsa, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, he lifted it as high as the clouds, seeing that the clouds could pour rain only to the lower portions of Govardhan. The animals ascended to the top of the mountain above the clouds. Whew. Jiva Goswami. He called to his mother. First, out of affection, he called her to appease her because she was overcome with worry and sorrow, fearing for her son, thinking that Indra produced showers in anger because of her son. He then called to his father with affection. If his father entered, she would follow. He also called Rohini and others. As you desire, just as you have lived in Braja, you can live here. Harivamsa describes that the area under the mountain measured 2 kroshas, so that gives the number up above. But how could all of Braja enter the whole? It became huge by the power of his inconceivable energy. Krishna says in Harivamsa, gives the Sanskrit, raising Govardhan, I have created this huge area. In this area, I want to fit the 3 worlds, when to speak of Braja. The hole or cavity refers to the place remaining when he lifted up the hill. The purpose of this area was to give protection from the wind and rain for the cows, which were their wealth. Enter with cows, The people then accepted his words. They became happy hearing the words. Then here's additional commentary. Krishna's saying, now you can all comfortably take shelter under Govardhan Hill. The Vrijvasis replied, but how can our cowherd community, which includes many thousands of cows, calves, and bulls, fit under Govardhan, which is only 3 miles across? Here's the answer. Because Govardhan Hill was in ecstasy being touched by Krishna's hand, it acquired inconceivable power. It's kind of repeating. Okay. Here's Brihat Bhagavatamrita reference. It's very similar. So now we'll go to the next verse. This is, we read Prabhupada's translation. There's no purport. Here's Bhanu Swami's rendering of what our acharyas have given. Krishna is saying, you should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hand, and don't be afraid of the wind and rain for your deliverance, for these afflictions has already been arranged. That's the same. Jiva Goswami, do not have fear that I will make the mountain fall from my hand. Nipatanat is a causative form. You should not fear that Indra will make it fall. Worrying about my steadiness, you should not do any actions. It is not necessary for you to fear the wind and rain, since your deliverance by lifting the mountain has been done by me. Your deliverance has been produced by you, by your worship of Govardhan. So there's some other Sanskrit analysis of the words in the verse and how this means that, and our acharyas do that. Hidden meanings. The direct meaning is this, and the poetic hidden meaning is that. So first they express the direct meaning. In this Leela, it's a fantastic example of an important principle in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. I've said this many times, but it's appropriate here as well. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha, one of the early points that Jiva Goswami makes is, there's no question of understanding God without accepting that God has innumerable and inconceivable, unlimited and inconceivable potencies, which is a direct confrontation or refutation of impersonalism, because impersonalism says to say potencies, then there has to be potent, and that means two things. You can't have two things, and so there's no two things, no potencies. What is it? It's illusion. To understand God, God must include everything. And it's simple. So what, and everything is beyond our conception of what everything is. Unlimited. What's the limit of unlimited? There's no limit. And so Krishna has unlimited potencies. He can do anything. To the worldly person, or even the devotee who looks through of the lens of conditioning, we have no experience of anything like this. So it may not be articulated, but somewhere back there in the recesses of material, materially contaminated mind is, really? And, you know, not just the lifting of the hill, but everything else that happens in Krishna's pastimes. It's a fundamental principle that going straight to the 10th canto, it's nice that the stories are very nice. You know, some have this idea. There's a, like we were discussing with Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, there's emphasis upon his sweetness. Since the sweetness of Krishna is unlimited, he exhibits sweetness that's unlimited. Let's just go to the 10th canto. And then when one hears the sweetness that's unlimited, what is one going to understand? Supposing one isn't this material lens looking person, how are they looking at it if they're not understanding the fundamental principle? And understanding is not just a notional acceptance, it's, let's say, the first 9 cantos assist one in getting that very clear. In principle. Purified to the point where one can hear, and then the sweetness is relished, not just notional. Sambandha Gyan is needed before Prayojana Gyan. So there's the volume of Sambandha Gyan understandings is vast. So people like the sweetness. It is nice. Just like Balaram Prasad said last night, just hearing the reading of, although it wasn't so much explanation, a lot of just reading the Kabanda episode, you know, preceded by Jatayu and so forth. It's very heart-touching. There's a sweetness aspect. And, you know, to understand the sweetness aspect requires, you could say, philosophy. An understanding of who Ram is, or in this case, who Krishna is. And what's he doing with Indra, and what's he doing with the Brijbasis? And it looks like, say for the Brijbasis, it's horrible. Indra wanted to kill the cows, their source of wealth and their object of protection. They're not just like, this is our means for money. They love the cows. They're invested with this feeling of protecting. Just like mother and father for children, they're invested with the power of protecting. It's natural for a Vaishya. And here comes, so, different emotions. And for Mother Jasoda, foremost is protecting her son. But in this superlative position of Vraja Prem. So he's addressing her first. than addressing. That's a very nice explanation. It's, you know, it's not so evident just by reading, but by hearing from our acharyas, what is Krishna doing? He's stirring through a difficult situation. He's stirring their transcendental emotion of attachment for him, according to the rasa. He's heightening their rasa by difficulty. And he's protecting them because he knows they see him as their only protector, and we've been hearing this through those prayers of Hanuman and how Ram regards his devotees, how the personality of Godhead in all of his sweetness looks upon those who see him as their only shelter, and he feels controlled by that feeling of theirs. It's love. It's an otherworldly love. So if he has love, how can he put them into difficulty? How can he sanction difficulty? You know, I don't want to go there to that place where you have difficulty, because I want a place where there's no difficulty, please. But it's not like that. The difficulty is apparent, and there's the reality of Krishna's shelter and Krishna's protection. I know somebody, you may also know somebody, that's in a hospital situation right now, and you know, dealing with 10 times the number of patients that they have to deal with normally due to this virus situation. And it's very stressful. I mean, aside from their personal risk of being exposed in close quarters with protection equipment and everything, there's the ever-present concern. It has happened. Persons in the medical profession have contracted the disease and died. Not only contracting the disease is no fun. And died some. So they're in a risky situation. Insufficient, the whole thing. And so many patients. And that the people that are in that condition, their family members can't come and see them. So it's difficult for the patient and difficult for the family members, and like the whole thing is, whew. So that's a contemporary worldly experience. It's not easy. So if our shelter in Krishna is notional only, you know, we like reading about Ram's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes, but the situations of the world, I don't know if I feel shelter. Or it tests one's shelter. It heightens one's shelter. That's not like, this is fantastic, now I can heighten my shelter in Krishna. It feels challenging, etc., etc., etc. Without going into the anecdotal, their devotees that are in this field, they have to have their phone and show on the other side is the family and over here is the patient, and they're doing this telephonic dialogue between the patient and the family, and the family's crying, the patient's crying, and they're stuck in between, and they can't professionally allow this. It's emotionally taxing for the persons, to everybody, including the medical practitioner. That's the contemporary situation, and life has challenges. And in Goloka, there are challenges. So don't have this mistaken idea that let's go to utopia because I don't like the challenges. It's too uncomfortable. I want a challenge-free situation, please. Shanti. Shelter in Krishna is a seed that by hearing and chanting as we're doing, it nurtures the seed and grows and grows and grows. And as the world turns, as time moves, matter and karma and everything, the picture keeps changing and changing and changing. And we're getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to see those changing circumstances as further opportunities for strengthen our shelter in Krishna and feeling protected by Krishna. And the pull of our material conditioning is pretty strong, like really strong. And then there's the other side, the shelter side, shelter in Krishna side. So this is a loved pastime. And Krishna's disclosing. There's no Govardhan Leela in Goloka. There's no Indra throwing thunderbolts at Govardhan Hill. It's a very sweet pastime that is to assist the residents of Braja and to assist us who are in this material world that also encounter difficulties. Sometimes this and sometimes that, and sometimes it seems quiet and sometimes it's not quiet, but difficulties. How to face difficulties. How to energetically connect with Krishna and the mood of the Brijvasis who feel protected by Krishna, even in the face of calamity, life-threatening calamity. He makes perfect arrangements by his unlimited and inconceivable potencies. And not yet, so, including not just lifting a hill, but the hill expanding and the mountain not feeling any hardship, and the animals on the mountain not feeling hardship, the residents of Vrindavan feeling a fulfillment of a desire, because this is another dimension of the pastime, giving them an opportunity to experience unbroken association with Krishna. Because the regular spool of his pastimes is there's meeting and separation. So here's unbroken association, fulfilling their heart's desire. No, it doesn't look nice because it's like life-threatening. But his protection is there. Now, so one may think, well, his protection is there for the Brijvasis, but I'm not a Brijvasi. But Krishna's protection, we've been hearing from Ramlila, even a slight service, protection is there. Okay, I'll just do a slight service and protection is there. Business is done. But, you know, proportionate to, in our case, proportionate to our sense of accepting, reaching out to the shelter of Krishna, we'll feel protected. And conversely, to the degree that we're not doing that, we'll feel, you know, moved by the wind of time. And time moves this way, and time, and whoa. Like a boat at sea. Now, many boats are really big. And so the movements of the wind and the waves at sea affect the big boat less. But there's big waves and there's big wind. And it can be very dangerous. And one can feel its danger. And it's like that for us. Crossing the ocean of material existence in the boat of transcendental knowledge has its waves and winds. And here we go. crossing the ocean of material existence. So we can have confidence, sturdy ship, good captain, favorable breezes, that's the instructions of the captain, and, you know, providential arrangements. So off we go. And as we go, there's winds and there's waves. So there's challenges in navigating, but gosh, there's going to be challenges navigating whatever your choices are about devotee, not devotee, or anything. Gosh. You know, devotees have difficulties in the workplace. Non-devotees have difficulties in the same workplace. And they have different ways, different processors, but it, you know, it's whatever it is. It's stressful, or they get defensive, or they have their guard up, or they, because they don't have shelter. So it's for a devotee, it's an opportunity to be in a sheltered consciousness. Doesn't mean no difficulties, but how you navigate is ever-present sense of shelter. Now, if you lose that sense of shelter because panic or fear or doership, and I'm going to deal with this and that, so then that sense of shelter is diminished. So back to the Govardhan Lila, Brijbasis are, I mean, we don't get detailed descriptions of how this one, that one, the other one were feeling. We get the general picture. They were filled with fear for themselves and for the cows. And Krishna is reassuring them, do not fear. Don't worry that this mountain will fall from my hand. I'm just a little boy. Don't worry. Everything's going to... So he, like, you know, like a parent to the child, giving reassurance, everything's going to be okay. Don't cry. He's that shelter-giving personality. And we need to understand, for shelter purposes, strengthening our shelter, that's his nature. He'll always extend his protection. It may not look like we think it should look like, but he'll always give his protection. That's our confidence, devotional confidence, and let it grow and grow. And hearing Krishna protecting Brijvasi will, by the spiritual potency and that sound vibration, will help us attain the same. However slowly, it will help us attain the same just by hearing, and then hearing again, and hearing again, and hearing again. Purification, shelter taking, confidence in Krishna, understanding his sweetness throughout difficulties. So let's see if there's some discussion. Again, for our online people, there are five of us in the room, and we're more than 6 feet apart, 8 feet, 10 feet. We're doing fine. We're being careful. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Could you please help me understand this? These pastimes are not there in Goloka, but they're happening in this dham.
What's the difficulty? There's two categories, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's two categories. Nitya Lila, and his Sanskrit term is Naimitika, or occasional. And the occasional pastimes have a very specific purpose and potency. It's to assist us. So, in Goloka, Upper Golok will say that. There's, the bhava is the same. But there's no real obstacle, or even an apparent obstacle. There's just the bhava. And here's the bhava, these eternal associates of Krishna, experiencing yikes, thunderbolts and torrents of rain, like columns coming down, and the water is rising, and our cows and You can't see land, it's just water everywhere, and it's rising. You know, it happens here, it floods. Krishna, so that's the Naimittika Lila, and Goloka, there's no Indra. There's no pastime like this exhibited in Goloka, but there's the bhava of inspired, increased shelter. And how it plays out, I can't say, but there's, that's how it works.
I was just trying to understand when you mentioned there are challenges even in Goloka and the pastimes are not there. I was trying to understand.
Okay, there were challenges. You know, let's say, you know, the center of love is Radha and Krishna. And between Radha and Krishna, they sometimes have, you know, this dispute between them, and then there's some tension because there's those that love Krishna and there's those that love Radha, and there's Chandravali, you know, the right wing and the left wing. And so all of that is there. And so there's these emotions that look like, or Krishna in his childhood pastime, he sees the cows or the calves and he pulls the tail of the calf and the calf runs and Krishna gets dragged across the pasturing ground and some of the gopis are laughing and some of the gopis are feeling horrified. And so on.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have another question on this. Guru Maharaj, you were mentioning we have to read the 9 cantos and then go to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the similar lines, we hear we have to complete reading Bhagavad Gita and then go to Srimad Bhagavatam.
No, we do both. To have a deeper understanding of the Bhagavatam, we require a deeper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. But, you know, Prabhupada started the Hare Krishna movement. In the morning is Bhagavatam class, the evening is Bhagavad Gita class. Don't read Srimad Bhagavatam till you completely study Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. That's not what he said. And the intention also of don't read any part of tenth canto, don't read Krishna book until you've thoroughly studied the first 9 cantos. That's not what he did. But our understanding is going to be restricted. And so there's this recommendation. And, you know, the point of the spear is unscrupulous people that do Bhagavad Katan, they go straight to the 10th canto and specifically to the Rasalila portions of, and people don't have a clue. The speaker has the wrong idea, the listener has the wrong idea, and the wrong ideas are inflamed. So, first 9 cantos, in principle. Something else.
Satyavrata Prabhu is asking, Srila Prabhupada says, suffer then protest when difficulties come. If we pray to Krishna, it is that we are requesting to remove challenges. How to understand this?
Well, it's not that always, it's better, it's, you know, this is a classic. When I hear this question, because of my upbringing, I think of Shakespeare. And in Hamlet, that's a big question. It's a famous line. Hamlet says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler to suffer the slings and arrows of misfortune than, or the other. So, what do we do when difficulty or misfortune or circumstances arise that are troubling? And so one of the messages is better to suffer or tolerate. But, you know, accepting or tolerating is an emotional description, but it doesn't necessitate, it doesn't dictate, you do nothing. You may do something. After having accepted or tolerated, you may very well do something. Or not do something, but you're in that position of choosing rather than reacting and retaliating and defending and, you know, being in false ego and being in animal consciousness. One can be in higher consciousness and choose just, it's temporary, it's going to come and go, and I'm not going to invest in this temporary thing. So like, you know, current circumstance, the virus situation. But we as devotees, it's not advisable. We just panic and become fearful and tolerate in that sense. There's nothing we can do about the situation. We can take measures and then we make decisions based upon a thoughtful response to the situation. So, service to Krishna is the principle. To access the service to Krishna mood, we need to not be in a reaction mentality or revengeful mentality or a fearful mentality or a false ego mentality. We'll forget Krishna for sure. We go to the not reacting space and then consider what's best. And we just stay in that tolerating or non-reacting space until something becomes clear what to do. Relying on Krishna to give us the intelligence what's best. I don't know if that's being responsive. Do you feel I addressed the question? I'm asking you. Okay. Satyabrata, if you want further clarification, send another message for further clarification. Okay.
Next question is from Rajat Prabhu. What possible steps can be taken to develop Vrajavasi consciousness, that is, reaching out to Krishna and feeling his shelter amidst emotionally stressful situations?
Hear his pastimes. Try to understand his mood. Try to understand the Vrajavasi's mood and continue to hear his pastimes. Meditating on his pastimes. That's our method. To enter into the mood of the Vrajavasis. It goes further, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There may be, in course of time, particular Vrajavasis that really inspire you. And to emulate that particular Vrajavasi, you do what Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti says you do. You hear and remember and meditate upon that particular Vrajavasi. And so forth.
Pradyumna Prabhu is asking, is feeling Krishna's shelter a fruit of one's devotional service performed so far, or is it possible for even a neophyte devotee?
Well, they're not mutually contradictory options. So far, and neophyte. A neophyte is also so far. And so we have our neophyte conception of what it means to take shelter of Krishna is most likely a neophyte conception of what it means to take shelter of Krishna. But we have to operate with what we have. So with that conception, we take shelter of Krishna. And with further purification, we have a more clear and more accurate and precise and personal understanding of what it means. What it feels like, how to do it. So we keep moving according to our realization and our advancement. But the principle is the same in the neophyte in intermediate and mature stage. Take shelter of Krishna. As the Vrajavasis are in this, you know, perfected stage of taking shelter of Krishna.
Girish Prabhu, does Govardhan Leela take place in Goloka as Indra isn't present there?
Yeah, I already answered that. There's no Indra in Goloka. There's no Govardhan Leela in Goloka. There's no life-threatening situation, you know, being played out in Goloka. There's the bhava, and exactly how that works is not clear. I am not aware of exactly how it works. But the bhava is there. The sense that, oh, some danger, Krishna, so that, like that. That's how they feel that, how the Yogamaya potency helps them feel that feeling. I don't have that understanding. I just understand it in principle, like how it plays out. Okay.
And Satyavrata Prabhu confirmed that he is clear.
Okay.
And Rajeshwari Pran Mataji's question. This Govardhan pastime is so relatable with current situation in the world with virus. More so than before, I am able to associate with devotees, reading and chanting virtually, and feeling sheltered and able to stay fearless while taking all the precautions. How can I help others who are not devotees at work, who are directly involved in taking care of infected people? They're taking precautions, but emotionally they may not have shelter. How can I help?
It depends on your relationship with those different people. You can share your feelings of being, you know, there's so many things you can do. Share your feelings of feeling protected and how, you know, it's more to model your contentedness and feelings of protection than necessarily specifically sharing. But, you know, you can try or you can invite them depending upon the relationship. But, you know, we have a little group that's reading. Would you like to read with us? It gives us a sense of connection and contentment and, you know, makes the mind very peaceful. Or Mahamantra chanting, or, you know, it depends on the person and the relationship, what you can do. But most important is just you model and let them, let those co-workers see the contentedness, peaceful, quality decorated individual. That's really powerful. Okay.
And Veda and Vaishnav have a question from yesterday's class. So Vibhishana had come to surrender to Rama. Rama had said that even if Ravana came and surrendered to him, he would have forgiven. Then, if Ravana had surrendered, would Rama have forgiven him?
Yes. And by the way, Veda and Vaishnav, that is going to be our evening topic. Stay tuned.
And one question from Sunita Mataji and Aditya. Why in most of the ISKCON temples, the deity of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman are not there? They are very less. What differs when we are doing for Rama or Krishna?
What differs?
What is the difference when we are worshipping?
Well, in the sadhana stage, the difference isn't so great. That is, we worship in awe and veneration. That's the instruction of our acharyas in the beginning stage. However, in the maturing stage and the mature stage, there's entrance into Goloka or entrance into Ayodhya, and there's a difference of intimacy in the dealings with Rama and difference of intimacy in the dealings with Krishna. And most specifically, Radha Krishna. We don't worship Krishna alone, it's Radha Krishna. So that takes us to the Braja Prem. So Vaikuntha Prem and Ayodhya Prem and Braja Prem, they're different. So we like, you know, why? Is because it leads one to a different stage. Now, in some temples there are. So why? And, you know, Prabhupada gave approval, for example, in Bombay, because there's so many people that have devotion to Ram. And so there's deities. And in the center is Radha Krishna, Radha Rasa Bihari. It's emphasis on where the gift of Braja Prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give. And the gift of Braja Prem that he wanted to give is not the fruit of worship Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. But there are devotees in ISKCON that very much love Ram Leela. And that's fantastic. And it's not like they don't have an understanding of the unique position of Radha Krishna and Braja Prem. They have a genuine devotional attraction. So fantastic. And at the same time, hearing and worshipping Radha Krishna.
Okay.
You have a question.
When you said about Sambandha Jnana is important before Prayojana Jnana, that was inspiring for me. And the question or the thought that came was, sometimes or most of the times while engaging in services or even sadhana, there's so much about what am I going to get in one sense, like the purification aspect, and that seems to be in the forefront than the process of kind of reconnecting and pleasing. I wanted to ask, what should I do or how should I proceed?
Yeah, the wording of your question is really important. The background is kind of clear, and the question is less than kind of clear. How am I to proceed? Well, that's your question. Given this condition, how am I to proceed? That's your question.
Yeah.
You know, acceptance and progress is how you should proceed. This is my condition. And it is important to have a sense of the goal. And the sense of the goal in my condition is fruitive. I want the goal. I want to experience these experiences. And don't want to experience those other experiences. In the fruitive sense, not the transcendental sense. So that's where you are. That's the acceptance. And accepting, you don't feel bad about yourself because that's my condition. Just accept that's my condition. And then look towards the goal and do the activities leveraging what the mood is to get you to the goal. And that's less of me at the center and increasingly more Krishna's at the center. And the activities themselves have potency. This is like the automatic topic. Automatically, it's not by hearing and chanting, it's not automatic, but it's said automatically. That is to say, purification takes place and there has to be some involvement of consciousness with that process of hearing and chanting. And what is revealed, like, you know, what you're understanding about yourself, that's what is being revealed to you. You engage intelligently in the process, knowing this is my tendency. Not like it's unique to you and others don't have that same tendency, but you're responsible for your own relationship with Krishna. So you engage intelligently, you make choices with the intelligence that Krishna has given you, to go beyond "it's all about me" into the realm of "it's all about Krishna." It's not about what your experiences are. It's about pleasing Krishna. And we're not there yet. That's the, you know, the acceptance. But I know in theory, in principle, what the reality is. And let me make conscious choices. Krishna, please give me the intelligence and the strength and everything. Let your qualities of attractive pastimes and relationships and everything attract me towards that side and away from, you know, the tar that's on my hand. You know, you try to get rid of the tar that's on your hand, now it's on your other hand. It's not by material effort that one can go beyond me-centeredness or false ego. By bhakti, it's possible. So you leverage that. That's an understanding. So you intelligently continue engaging in the process, exercising that newly discovered intelligence, at least conceptually, and then continue and try energetically and from the heart to move in that direction. That's the higher intelligence engagement in the bhakti process. Okay. Okay, last question, I'm going to end.
So it is very saddening to hear about suffering of the doctors and patients. What should be our prayer for them? Whether the devotee or not, knowing that Krishna is the maintainer and protector.
Well, who are we? We're little people. And Krishna is the all-powerful omniscient. So, you know, a prayer could be Krishna if you so desire. And then you fill in the blank. Let this situation evolve in the persons involved in the situation, in the medical profession, become more grateful to the gifts that Krishna has given them, and may they be protected if you so desire. And, you know, fill in, you know, get creative and personal in your relationship with Krishna to express. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.